The Spotlight. It's a radio show where volunteers share stories of inspiration, share their journey, express their feelings, and tell us all about those who have touched their lives. And we play their favorite music. It is The Spotlight with Lebo, Fridays 2 to 3 p.m. on Radio Mirage.
Hello and welcome to The Spotlight on Radio Mariah. The Spotlight is all about profiling amazing people who do really amazing things. We profile people who have interesting journeys to share with us and their journeys of volunteerism. My name is Lebo and I am your host for the next hour. And this week, our Spotlight appearance is Samantha Karimanzira. She is a vibrant young woman and Samantha works as a buyer in the United Nations Mission in South Sudan Procurement Section. She works to support the mission in acquiring resources and services it needs to fulfill its mandate. Samantha says that UNMISS is her first ever mission and first international job experience in such a culturally diverse organization. In her own words, Samantha says, "Although I basically work behind the scenes, I see firsthand the impact my assignment makes when I look at the various resources we acquire for the mission, from the very computers we use to the medical drugs to equipment to the cleaning services, etc. In short, I am part of the team that greases the wheels to keep UNMISS in motion." Wow. Samantha, welcome to the Spotlight.
Thank you very much.
So, what did you have for breakfast?
Well, I just had a cup of tea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my breakfast.
Yeah, light one. Huh?
Very light one.
Yeah. And we have already introduced you a little bit, but I think you can do, you know, your profile a little bit more justice by, you know, sharing us with us a little bit more about your background and what Samantha is all about and who she is.
Okay. Mm. I'm a Zimbabwean by nationality. Mm-hmm. I am the second born in a family of four children, mm-hmm. being the first girl. Mm-hmm. We are two boys, two girls in our family.
Okay.
I love life, you know. I love to live life. I love music. I love arts and culture. Mm-hmm. I love meeting and interacting with people. So I always try, you know, in a day to just go around saying hi to as many people as I can, not mm-hmm. only in my office, but even our clients, mm-hmm. because I think if you start your day right, mm-hmm. it'll end on a very positive note.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, I'm a buyer in procurement, mm-hmm. and actually, that was not my initial profession.
Yeah, yeah, actually, that was going to be my next question.
I didn't want to be a buyer. I didn't mm-hmm. want to do procurement and logistics. It's something my father decided for me mm-hmm. as the person who was paying my tuition. Uh-huh. So he actually did everything, the application for me, and submitted
it.
The African way. Yeah, the do as I say. If you don't like it, find someone else to pay your
tuition.
Find
another roof to live under.
You see, yeah. And I was pretty upset about it because mm-hmm. it was still in the experimental phase in terms of being an undergraduate degree in my country. Mm-hmm. I was part of the second group of students to ever do it mm-hmm. in Zimbabwe.
Okay.
So I thought, okay, so if this fails, I'm going to be part of that statistic.
Yeah, yeah.
And this man has made such a decision for me.
Uh-huh.
But I love procurement, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine doing
anything
else different. Mm-hmm. I had no understanding of it that time, but now I really just enjoy. It's so diverse. It's so broad. Mm-hmm. I really love my job.
So what was your first choice?
My first choice was law.
Ah, okay.
But, you know, the bar is set so high, you have to do exceptionally well at mm-hmm. your advanced level mm-hmm. to be able to get into it. So my parents were like, if you don't meet that requirement, then what are you going to do?
Yeah, yeah.
So okay. Better stick to something that's within your reach, so to speak.
But I don't know. Procurement is pretty tough, so I don't know about within your reach.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. That was basically their line of thinking mm-hmm, at that time, mm-hmm. yeah.
And looking back, though, like, do you think your father made the right choice for you?
Yes, I would say.
Yeah.
I would say so,
So
yes.
Thank you to Daddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he was still alive, I used to always tell him, uh-huh. okay, now uh-huh. I can say thank you.
Okay. All right. That's great. That's yeah. great, though. And Samantha, please share with us what your typical day looks like in your current position.
Well, that's the very interesting part of my job. I don't do the same thing mm-hmm, every day. Mm-hmm. I may do the same thing over a period of time, but it all depends on what stage I am at in the procurement process. Mm-hmm. So on any given day, I could be doing
anything from evaluating bids received or actually sending out invitations to bid or meeting with clients to refine their requirements to help them specify them better.
Yeah.
Or chasing after shipments, you know, once you order, you have to follow up.
Yeah.
Or chasing after the vendor payments after they've delivered. So it's very different. It just depends on each case and where I am at with each case.
So I think, but then that would make your job very interesting and not monotonous, because a lot of times people get so bogged down by routine every day doing the same thing. So I think, you know, you're one of the fortunate few, you know. So, and in your journey, and you, I know you've volunteered in different areas in your life. What are some of the greatest lessons that you've learned?
Wow, that is a very good question. I've learned a lot, actually, in my journey. I've learned that both on a positive and negative, positive and negative lessons, I've learned that not everybody will appreciate, you know, what you do. Not everybody is going to appreciate the work that you do. But you must do the best you can anyway, regardless.
Yeah.
I've also learned that something as small as a smile, you know, is very important, you know, to somebody. It can actually change someone's attitude, someone's life. So I've learned, you know, that that positive attitude can influence how things go in your life. I've also learned that not everybody really understands what it means to be a volunteer. Sadly, most people think it's, you know, it's something that should be done by charitable organizations. You know, people have something to give. But it's actually about giving of yourself, be it your time, your resources, or even just your expertise, as I'm doing here. So, yeah, those are some of the lessons I've learned.
Okay, wonderful. And you're currently serving in South Sudan in UNMISS. What is the most interesting part about your assignment?
Well, like I said in my bio, I'm like a behind-the-scenes person. So I'm not really in the front line. But it's actually equally as important as being, you know, directly involved in changing people's lives. So what I find really interesting is I just love, you know, when I walk into offices, you see people sitting on chairs and I'm saying, okay, I was part of the people who bought that. And someone says, oh, my Tetra's not working. I'm saying, okay, I was part of the people who bought those things. Or actually, I was the one who bought that particular item. And then to see how those things are used for the mission's mandate, then I cease to feel so, you know, behind the scenes or so small. I actually see that, okay, so we do have a really huge impact. Because if I don't do my job, if I don't bring in the medical drugs, what happens at level one? If I don't buy them in time and get the best ones, it'll be a disaster. What happens at the clinic? If the cleaners don't come to work, there's no contract. What's going to happen to the upkeep of the compound?
Wow. Okay. So that's very interesting. Thank you for sharing this. And how did you hear about the opportunity to be assigned with UN Volunteers?
Actually, a friend of mine back in my home country.
In Zimbabwe.
In Zimbabwe,
Sadak
yes.
in the house, by the way. By the way,
Representing. She's the one who actually told me about it and encouraged me to create a profile. So that's how I heard about it.
And then how long did it take you?
To be honest, it was over a year before I heard any feedback.
And I'm sure you'd forgotten about it by then.
Completely.
Yeah.
When I first saw the email, I was like,
What is that?
What is this about?
Okay. And Samantha, you have music that you want to share with us. Can you please introduce your first track to our audience?
My first track is She's Not Just a Pretty Face by Shania Twain. It's about appreciating women's roles and the various things that women do. Amazing things that women do, from being doctors, teachers, lawyers, you name it. Women are doing it.
Amazing. Okay. All right. That is Shania Twain. She's Not Just a Pretty Face. Welcome back to the Spotlight, and I am with Samantha Karimanzira from Zimbabwe, and she's working with UNMISS as a UN volunteer, and she works in the procurement section, so she's just basically sharing her story with us and her journey with us and what she has learned so far. And Samantha, you were part of the second group of students in your country to graduate for with an undergraduate in international procurement, logistics and transport, right? How did that make you feel to be part of the select few?
I was so proud. Oh, you should have seen me on my graduation day. I mean, even all the things that went wrong from, you know, dresses getting torn and shoes not fitting, you know, fitting and... or heels breaking. Mm-hmm. It was a disaster, but I tell you, I had the most fun on that day and I was so proud. I really was so proud.
It made you feel like, you know what, I'm actually doing something that not everybody's doing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's wonderful. That's really great. And tell me about your most memorable childhood moment, that moment that really stood out for you and one that you feel really defined you.
Well, there are several, but I'll just pick one particular one. Mm-hmm. My father was always pushing me, mm-hmm. you know, to do things that ordinarily at that time in our country were more like boys things that boys do.
That explains the procurement.
I was a very shy child, so I didn't like to speak in front of people. Even if we had visitors, I'll go hide in my room. Then my father pushed me to join, you know, public speaking and debate club. Wow, and I said, oh, no. Yeah. No way. That is outside my comfort zone. And, you know, he brought down that his foot and said, you're doing it.
Yeah.
We are not talking about it. You're doing it. And it's actually, as I started to do it, I actually found out that I was pretty good at it.
Yeah.
I actually became, the president of the debate team.
Wow.
And we won so many awards, so many competitions. Mm-hmm. And it really brought me out of that
shell.
Mm-hmm, yes. And for that, I really thank him because I'm a very confident speaker.
You are.
Everywhere
you
I go because of that experience.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's really, really great. And you're away from your family a lot. How does the absence from your family affect you?
Well, it really does affect me a lot. I miss them a lot. I'm single, yes, but I still miss my mom and my brothers and my sister. Well, UNMISS is a very nice environment in terms of togetherness. People really reach out to each other. So I have a family here as well.
You have a support structure.
Yes.
Which is really great. And Samantha, do you mind sharing with us your next track that you want to share with the audience?
My next track is from a South African a cappella group called The Soil, and it's We Are One. It's a song just about celebrating humanity and loving each other regardless of race, ethnicity, social standing.
I love The Soil, by the way. They have amazing music.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. This is The Soil, We Are One.
Every day try, celebrate humanity, and when you love unconditionally. Better world begins with a smile. God then give me pray that as soon as you hear the song, you'll feel a wave of love, and that you'll reach out to spread love like a soaring dove. That pure love that comes from above. Without peace, love, and happiness, we won't survive. May the good Lord continue to bless you and those around you. Know that He loves you. Yeah, that's why we say,
say.
Welcome back to the Spotlight, and I am here with Samantha, who is talking about how she works behind the scenes in UNMISS and what her contribution to the United Nations mission in South Sudan is and her journey, really. And Samantha, this is your first international assignment, and then you came to South Sudan. What is the feeling you got when you first arrived?
From the minute I stepped out of the plane, I said, I'm not going to survive. The heat just hit me right there. We don't have these temperatures in my country. So I just said, oh, my God. And then to come and be put in containerized accommodation, I just said, oh, my God.
I know.
What kind of a place is this? And then, you know, we were given all sorts of pictures of what it's like to be in South Sudan. So I was very scared to be here. I thought, oh my God, there's
what am
a lot
I doing?
Of hostility out there. But no, I was actually surprised. You know, to walk in the market, you see there ordinary people doing ordinary things that we do even in my own home country.
Yeah. Which is well, it's a nice surprise.
Yeah, that was that was the nice surprise.
Yeah. And what would you say have been your greatest achievement so far?
Well, work-wise, I've achieved a lot of stuff. I've handled a lot of very complex, high-value requirements, values I had never handled in my profession back in my home country. And to be responsible for such big projects was very challenging, but also very rewarding because I felt like, you know, I'm actually now putting into use what I was learning in school.
Yeah.
Then socially also, I've been part of, you know, the team that has raised funds for children in the orphanage, tried to get them supplies and just mingle, interact with them. So, yeah, I think I've done a lot of stuff that I'm really proud of.
You're satisfied.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Contentment is good. It's really good. And what survival skills have you acquired and that you think could be a value, could be of value to anyone aspiring to become a volunteer?
I've learned that actually less is more. When you see people who live on less than you have, it actually changes the way you think about so many things.
It's true.
And you realize that there's a lot of stuff that
you
really
don't need. Yeah.
You know, I was one of those people who if you walk into my room, you could barely find a place to sit because there's so much stuff in there. But now, I actually
just
say
do
to myself,
bare minimum,
this one I don't need, that I don't need. Yeah. And I've learned that you can survive anywhere. Doesn't matter what temperatures you're facing. Doesn't matter what situation you're facing. If you have that drive in you, you can make the most out of anything.
Yeah. And I was saying, I think, to another interviewee the last time that if people are living there, then I should be able to survive.
To survive,
there.
Yes,
so
exactly.
How do they do it? So, and how has your life changed by living in South Sudan?
Well, it has changed in so many ways. I now appreciate, you know, a lot of things that even back home in my own country I used to take for granted, like simple things like just having clean water to drink. Here you have to buy a lot of things like water and electricity. You are running on generators throughout and, you know, back home you have some of these things. I've learned to appreciate those things. And then also I've learned to interact. I like to interact with people, but I had never been exposed to people of different cultures, very diverse cultures. Being here has helped me adjust and adapt and learn things about other people's cultures, you know, like, you know, greeting someone in a certain way in this culture is not acceptable, in that culture is not acceptable.
And the handshaking.
Exactly.
Forever handshaking. We're shaking hands at every corner in South Sudan. So.
And learning different languages.
Learning different languages. And Samantha, let's take a break. Share with us your next track.
My next track is one from a Zimbabwean artist, Oliver Mtukudzi. It's called Neria. It's about a brother giving inspiration and motivation to his sister who's lost her husband. Mm-hmm. I think it's something very real in mm-hmm. this world, and something very real particularly to the women in South Sudan mm-hmm. as well, who mm-hmm. have lost their children, their husband, yeah. because of the war.
Wow, beautiful. Yeah. That's Oliver Mtukudzi, Neria. Today we are profiling Samantha, who is sharing with us her interesting journey all the way from Zimbabwe, and she's now in South Sudan. Samantha, how have you adjusted to the conditions in South Sudan that are so different from your own home country?
Well, if it's temperatures, the heat, I always stay indoors.
Yeah,
there's nothing I can do about that.
Yeah.
In terms of the things I'm used to, groceries, things like groceries mm-hmm. and stuff, I've learned to use the next best alternative, what's available mm-hmm. locally. And if it's something I really can't do without, I still bring it from home.
Yeah, yeah.
If I can.
Yeah.
But more and more, I'm learning to just live the way people are living here. Mm-hmm. And it's really taught me to be a lot more tolerant mm-hmm. to situations. You know, there are some things you say are must-haves, and mm. I can't do without. Now yeah. I've changed from that mindset. I've learned to do with what's available.
It's really a humbling experience.
Oh, yes, yeah, definitely.
It really definitely. Is. It really is. And if you were stranded on a desert island, what luxury item would you take?
My cell phone.
What?
I would what? Have to say my cell phone.
Okay, why? I mean,
it's an all-in-one gadget, you know. It's my it's my Bible. It's my music player. Okay. It's my access to social networks. He's hoping on the island I can get my internet.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's become my life, really.
Oh wow, yeah. Okay, I'm not one to talk, so it's okay. I'll let you go on that one. And you're gonna share with us your next musical piece. Please introduce it.
This is a song, Rise Up, by Andra Day. Mm-hmm. It's, again, a motivational song, just talking about standing tall and rising up in spite of your circumstances.
Okay, that is Andra Day, Rise Up.
You're broken down and tired of living life on a merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter. But I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Move mountains. We gon' walk it out and move mountains. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. Silence isn't quiet.
And it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Move, I won't dance. Bring it to its feet. Move, I won't dance. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise up, I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up, and I'll do it a thousand times again. For that we have each other. I will rise a thousand times again, and we'll rise up.
Samantha, who works for the United Nations mission in South Sudan as a UN volunteer. She works in the procurement section and she comes from Zimbabwe. And she says this is her first international experience. And she's just basically sharing with us what she has experienced while in South Sudan and, of course, her other volunteer assignments that she's done in her life. Samantha, who are the people that have been the most influential in your life?
My mom.
Uh-huh.
Is definitely top
of the list. I expected you to say your dad.
No. It's actually my mom.
Okay.
My mom has been, she's my rock. She's my everything, mm-hmm. actually. She's mm-hmm. the one who's pushed me in so many other ways that were different, like, from my dad. Mm-hmm. She has been there with me through it all, and she has taught me a lot of things about being responsible for myself, mm-hmm. being responsible for others, mm-hmm. and just being a good person, mm-hmm. in actions, in words, in everything I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. And one of the greatest benefits of being a volunteer is getting to experience to be a part of the community that you serve.
Yes.
Describe the relationship that you have with the community that you're in.
I have a pretty good relationship, I'd say, with the community that I'm in, not just internally as UNMISS mm-hmm. personnel, mm-hmm. but even outside, locals. You should see me when I go into the market uh-huh. for shopping. You know,
you're the mayor.
Not exactly, but you know, I have my sisters there in
okay,
the market,
okay,
and
nice.
just all around me.
Okay, that's yeah. nice. That's wonderful. And what are your other interests? That other interests apart from your procurement and your professional interests?
I have so many. I love the arts. Mm-hmm. I love drama. I love things to do with arts and crafts. Mm-hmm. I love cooking and food. Mm-hmm. And whilst I'm here, I've learned to cook different dishes from different countries.
Oh, wow.
Things that I would never have eaten in my own country.
Okay.
Like the West African palate, I mean, that was... I know. That was something it's really shocking to me.
For a Southern African, you're like, what? What is... Yeah, I know, I know.
Yeah, so I have interest in food and learning how to make all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And arts and crafts, I love to make things with my own hands.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, wonderful. And you say you're an advocate for women's rights and advancement of the girl child. What kind of projects have you been... You know, have you contributed to in your lifetime?
In my lifetime, I have been somewhat of a motivational speaker to girls from my home country. I went to a girls only school, so as part of the alumni for that school, you know, we've done a lot of outreach projects to students from that school and other schools as well, just to tell them what we are doing as grown women now. Mm-hmm. And even here in South Sudan, we've done basically the same concept as well through the UN Christian Assembly. Mm-hmm. And it's been very rewarding to see that, you know, a lot of girls out there still don't believe in themselves, still don't believe that getting an education is really important. You know, it's you grow up, you get married, you have children, and that's like your life story.
Yeah, and I think, you know, coming from such a different background, it's really a shocker when you arrive here and you're like, and you see 13-year-old girls. Because I was just like, in just this past week, I was in Awil, and just 13-year-old girls walking around pregnant, and it's just okay. And it's like, and for me, it was like really, really heartbreaking, because I know the possibility, the different possibilities that these young girls can have. You know, so yeah. Anyway, can you share with us your next musical piece?
The next song is Just Stand Up by various female artists. Mm-hmm. It's a song that was done for raising awareness and about cancer. Mm-hmm. I think this is one of the diseases that is hitting especially us women very hard, and a lot of people are still not yet well informed about it. Mm-hmm. And it's also about motivating those that are affected by it to just stand up and keep going, keep pushing on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is various artists, Just Stand Up.
The heart is stronger than you think. Like you can go through anything. Even when you think you can't, it finds a way to still push on. No. Sometimes you want to run away. Ain't got the patience for the pain.
Keep thinking of you.
Welcome back to the Spotlight. My name is Lebo, and I am here with Samantha from Zimbabwe, who's sharing with us her volunteer journey as well as her life experience. And Samantha, what is it about you personally that you feel is so special? It has the ability to make a difference in other people's lives.
I have a big heart. In fact, my sister always laughs at me. She says my heart is like a bottomless pit.
Ah, wow.
She says, you will give until you have nothing left.
Mother Christmas.
Yeah. Thank you. Mrs. Santa Claus.
Yeah.
That is me.
Okay, that's beautiful. And what book do you think has made the biggest impact in your life?
It's actually a Christian book.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Christian by religion.
Mm-hmm.
It's The Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer.
Okay, I love that woman.
Yeah.
That
book really changed my whole mindset
from
the simple things that I do, from waking up in the morning to going to work to talking to other people. Mm-hmm. It really just changed me, and it showed me that the most powerful part of any human being
is the mind.
It's not the hands, it's not anything, it's not your muscles, it's the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have the right mindset, every other aspect of your life falls into place.
That's actually quite true. Actually, yesterday, I was listening to a sermon by T.D. Jakes, and he was saying about how when he was younger, his older brother used to tickle him, and he really used to hate it because it was painful. And then he just decided one day, you know what? I think the best thing is for me to not be ticklish. Right?
Okay.
And actually, because now he decided it and he put his mind to it, and it was mind over matter, even up to now, the man is not ticklish. But, you know, it's like, you know,
the power of the mind.
Exactly, the power of the mind. Samantha, thank you very much for letting us hearing your story on the Spotlight on Radio Mariah. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. And don't forget that the Spotlight Repeat also airs on Saturdays from 8 to 9 p.m. on Radio Mariah. Tune in again next week, Friday, to listen to our next Spotlighter guest. And thank you to our producer, McCreen. This is the Spotlight. I am Lebo, and have a lovely day.